lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to John in the 10th chapter as we hear of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus uses figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we've arrived at the fourth Sunday of Easter, appropriately nicknamed Good Shepherd Sunday. We hear about shepherds and sheep today, and as we move through the Easter season, to Pentecost, we are learning what it is to be resurrection people, how we live differently in the world because of the resurrection, and what it means for us to be the church. So we hear of shepherds and sheep and life and pasture. Now, it's not uncommon that we hear of sheep and shepherds throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, perhaps because it was one of the most common occupations to be a shepherd in Jesus' day. There was lots of rocky hillsides, not good for growing things, but not bad for pasturing sheep. So there were many shepherds, lots and lots and lots of sheep. And so it's a good image that Jesus uses because it's a familiar image to the people he's speaking to. It was a well-understood set of relationships between sheep and shepherds and gates and flocks and thieves and wolves. We hear a little bit about the sheep and shepherd relationship from Psalm 23. It tells us that the Lord is our shepherd, our provider, our caretaker, our guide, and our constant companion. That the Good Shepherd is our comforter, our host at the table, and the one in whom we have abundance. It's with this shepherd that we learn what is good and bad for us as sheep, and we learn our role as sheep, the shepherd. You see, we have to trust the shepherd as sheep, even in the deepest, darkest valleys, even when there are predators around. We trust the shepherd enough to rest soundly, to drink deeply, and to have life. In the first part of John chapter 10, we hear more about Jesus speaking of himself as the shepherd. And we hear about what it's like to live as part of the flock. But Jesus changes the metaphor a little bit further through, saying that he's now the gate. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen anyone going around handing out business cards with the title Sheep Gate. But that's the title that Jesus gives himself in today's scripture lesson, a role that he's claiming in relationship to his sheep. The sheep gate is the person who's on gate duty, the one who watches over the flock at night when they're gathered into the pen, the one who counts the sheep, who watches them, and who lets them out in the morning to go graze. The sheep gate only lets sheep in, though. They don't let in wolves or other predators. No robbers or thieves. No one who wants to harm the sheep may enter. So Jesus, the sheep gate, cares for the sheep, makes sure that they are safe and are saved. We're told that Jesus is not like things. Jesus is not one who approaches the sheepfold by a means other than the gate. He's not climbing over the fence or hopping over the rock barrier the way a thief or a bandit might. Jesus is also not unfamiliar to the sheep. They don't scatter when they hear his voice. And Jesus isn't there to harm the sheep or to take from them, but rather to give them abundant life. In order for the flock to survive and thrive, there have to be some basic provisions in place for their well-being. Part of that is the shepherd and the gate. The gate holds the flock together and helps safeguard them. And during the day, the shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep as they go out and graze in the pasture. Now that's great. But what do sheep and shepherds have to do with us, the church? The role of the church is to continue the work that Jesus initiated in his life and ministry. So then the church has a responsibility to the flock, to look after the sheep, to name them, to provide a safe space for them, and to send them out to pasture. The church does this through things like worship and education and nurture, through giving opportunities for outreach and service, and by encouraging us to share our witness and engage in evangelism, meaning bringing other sheep into the fold. For every person is a sheep, even if they don't self-identify as one of Jesus-branded sheep. What about the sheep? Who did Jesus consider to be his sheep? And how did he know them and they know him? I think it starts with the disciples that Jesus calls. There were the fishermen, the lowly of society. There were the tax collectors, the despised, the religious activists and zealots. Then there was the blind and the lame, the broken, the dead man who came to life again, even a demoniac. We're all sheep, self-identified with Jesus. Then there were some outsiders that Jesus brought into the flock. The Roman centurion, the Samaritan woman, the lepers, those who lived on the edges of society. The early church continued to gain sheep through people like Saul, one of the greatest persecutors of the church, who through conversion became Paul, one of the greatest evangelists to ever live. Now we've been talking about sheep, and I'm going to tell you about a monkey. I have a stuffed monkey that I received when I was a small child, and I quickly became attached to this monkey. He had long, soft, fluffy fur. He was gray with a peachy face. I took him everywhere, it seemed like, with me, and he got dirty. So my mom decided to wash this beloved toy, this monkey that I had. He really needed it. It was really a necessity at the time. And so my mom put him in the washer with other things that she was washing and then scooped it all up and put it into the dryer to continue the cleaning process. Well, when the monkey came out of the dryer, he wasn't the same. We'd missed the little part that said air dry only or hang to dry or something along those lines, not put him in the dryer on high heat with all the rest of the clothes. Sure, his peachy face was once again peachy instead of a dingy gray. But his long, soft, fluffy fur had become quite matted and a little melted. But I still loved that monkey. I wouldn't give him up for anything. Now, my siblings teased me terribly about this animal. He was ugly and gangly looking and probably deserved the names that they were calling him, but I protected him fiercely. I had a brother who liked to take the monkey, which he called disgusting, and hide it from me. And so I'd race off to go find the monkey. And when I would find him, we'd often get into fights. In the heat of the brawl one time, we ended up tearing a leg off of the monkey. But I, with the help of my mom, found a needle and thread and reattached the leg to the monkey, loving him all the more. I loved and protected that decrepit-looking thing as long as I could. And it seems to go that Jesus, the sheep gate, doesn't allow prejudice or preferences or traditions or even ideals to become the standards by which sheep are invited into the flock. Jesus welcomes people from every situation in life. So I think there's a message for the church in that. The duty of the sheep gate isn't to keep sheep out, particularly if a sheep might have a spot or two, or a different colored fleece, or a deformity, or were bred as meat sheep instead of wool sheep, or for any other reason. Sheep, in their great diversity, are welcomed into the fold and given protection and provision. We're even told a little later in the Gospel of John in chapter 16 that Jesus has sheep in other folds that still belong to the one flock and the one shepherd. The role of the sheep gate is to guard against predators, those who would harm the sheep, not to keep sheep out. So too, the role of the church is to let the sheep of the world know that there is a fold for them, a place where they are cared for, where they are guarded, where they have the opportunity to come in, to rest, to go out and find pasture, to be nourished and to be loved, not to leave sheep out. It's in the fold that they begin to hear the voice of the shepherd, to recognize his voice and to follow him. So I give thanks to God for our good shepherd, who knows each of the sheep by name, who cares for all of them, who goes after the lost sheep and returns them to the fold, and who lays down his very life for the sheep. Amen.